I'm afraid I've committed the unpardonable sin. How can I know if my repentance is genuine or if it's my wicked heart falsely assuring me that I'm in a right standing with God? Well, those feel like two questions to me. Let me see if I can answer them separately and then try to figure out the connection. I'm afraid that I've committed the unpardonable sin is one thing. To worry that our repentance is not genuine and that our hearts are falsely assuring us, that's a problem for lots of people without any reference to the unpardonable sin at all. In other words, any of us would ask at any given time, am I real? Am I playing games? Did I just inherit this from my parents? Is my faith real? And the answer to that question, and I think it'll probably wind up answering the first one, is that when that question arises, is my faith authentic? Because the Bible says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Is it genuine? The answer is almost never found with the kind of soul-satisfying certainty that you want by looking within and peeling the onion of your heart. Jonathan Edwards just laid me bare in 1971, 72 when I was reading his book, Religious Affections, and I can remember several nights where in his chapter on evangelical humiliation, he began to peel back the onion layers of my soul. And he would say, so you think you're humble? What if you're boasting in your humility? And you admit, yes, I probably am boasting in my humility. Well, what if your confession that you're boasting in your humility is really a pose and you're not boasting in your humility at all? And he had these question after question to realize that there's no center to this onion. You peel and peel and peel and you get down and the last peel just disappears. Because you can always ask yourself, how do you know? You can always doubt yourself. There's no way by mere self-analysis to come to a point where you're looking at something that you can say, definitely authentic. Because the capacity of the human brain to doubt that is always there. So where in the world does assurance come from? And the answer is that even though introspection is commended and wise up to a point, the bottom line of assurance comes when you stop analyzing and you look to Christ and you look and you look and you look until Christ himself in his glory and his sufficiency by reflex, as it were, awakens a self-forgetful yes to him. And your best moments of assurance are not the moments when you're thinking about your assurance. Because the very moment you're thinking about your assurance, you have the capacity at that moment to doubt your assurance. There's a little voice, whether it's your conscience or the devil, is saying, you think you have assurance, but. And so the answer comes, look to the cross, look to Christ. And if you're able to look to the cross, if you're able to see him as sufficient and satisfying and powerfully able to carry all your sins, and you find yourself drawn out of yourself to say yes to him, that's what you are. You are assured. He is your assurance at that moment. And the way Paul put it was, besides telling us to, we are being changed from one degree of glory as we behold the glory of the Lord, and as Hebrews puts it, look to Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. The way Paul puts it in Romans 8 is that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I deal with this problem probably more than any other problem in praying with people after services at Bethlehem. And my bottom line answer to them is, you know, I can tell you lots of things about why Christ is sufficient for you and why your sins have not put you beyond the pale of forgiveness. But in the end, it will be the work of God in your life, awakening you to see Him as completely sufficient for you personally. And I think that's the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't whisper in your ear, "You're a Christian," because you could doubt that voice, couldn't you? I think that was my pizza last night, or it was the devil. Or the witness of the Holy Spirit is not a whispering in your ear. The witness of the Holy Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit enabling you to look at Christ and feel Him as your own, see Him as precious, and that you say Galatians 2:20 personally, "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." It's that "me" that is the settling of our assurance. Now, with regard to the unpardonable sin, I think the unpardonable sin is any sin that puts you beyond the capacity to do that. If you can look to Christ and know Him as your own, you haven't committed the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is a sin that makes you an Esau. It brings you to a point where, according to Hebrews 12, Esau sought repentance and he couldn't find it. He couldn't look away to Christ, renounce his sins, embrace Jesus, and rest in Him is sufficient. And so my battle with somebody, when they say they've committed the unpardonable sin, I don't say you haven't. I don't know. But I press them to look to Christ. I press them to fly to Jesus and pray for their eyes to be opened. And if God grants that prayer, they haven't. That's the litmus test, because the unforgivable sin is not in particular words like, "God damn you, Holy Spirit." There are people who have said that at 13-year-olds when they got mad at their parents and they just went back to their bedroom and said those words. I said, that's not it. It could be, but I don't think so. Can you today renounce all the sins of your past and embrace Christ?